Good morning. Good morning, Miss Jerry. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you, Ron.
And I will be your servant today. I was missing in action last week. I had some family members from out of town, and we went to church with my mom and dad at their church in Mandarin, and we had a very lovely visit. But I missed being here, and I am grateful to be back among you worshiping Almighty God today. Amen. Amen. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. I want to welcome especially our guests and first-time visitors, and we have a, it's not up here, but it used to be up here, a black and white card that says welcome on it. Thank you. Nancy's holding it up. There you go. If you're a guest, we'd like to invite you to fill out that information for us. And also, we've been asking you to let us know if there are people around you that are normally sitting there that are not there. Would you give us their names? Write that on the comment section of that card. If there are people who are missing that you know of because they sit near you, to let us know so that we can be in touch with them. We want people to know that we miss them when they're not here. It makes a difference. This is all one big family of God, and we want all the family members to be here on Sunday morning. That would be wonderful. And I thank you so much and ask that we greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Look it up. It's 462.
Okay.
But I don't know.
462.
My first name is 462. Hello. Did you go get that dollar?
No, not yet. Remind me afterwards, and I'll leave without it.
It's the wireless.
Hello.
died?
Okay, very good. Good morning. Wasn't that fun? My name is Robin Stowers, and I would also like to welcome each and everyone here today worshiping our Heavenly Father. What a joy it is. And I will be your liturgist for the rest of the month of April. Announcements. If you would just do me a favor and just take it upon yourselves to look at the back of the bulletin, and you will see the happenings that are going on this week. I do just want to make a quick mention that today at 6 o'clock will be the church council. Everyone is welcome. It is an open seating. All are welcome to come and to find out what's going on in our church, okay? And anyway, you can read the rest of the things. The other announcement I want to remind you guys about, I spoke a little bit last week, is about our wonderful fashion show that we're going to be having in June. Buttons and Bows, going to be put on by the lovely men of Calvary United Methodist Church. Can't wait to see what kind of styles they're going to be modeling. You guys are lovely and handsome. So there'll be more in the newsletter. And we encourage everyone to purchase a ticket when the time comes and come out for an evening of fun and fellowship and laughter. And we're just going to be wooed by the handsome men of Calvary, I'm sure. Okay. If you would, please, let's go to our opening words in prayer. Doubt and fear are gone. Where we once felt alone and lost,
Christ has come to walk again with us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Let us pray together. Lord of light and mercy, be with us this day as we again hear the stories of faith and sight. Help us to believe in your abiding presence with us, both in our darkness and in the light which you bring. Give us courage and strength to witness to your resurrection, for we offer this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 462. Again, that's 462. We'll see. So sweet to trust in Jesus.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know the sent the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, my
turn to page 886 in your hymnal. We'll have our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe. God, help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
That we have children here today. Do we have any children? I was going to talk to the children about how Jesus helps us. In the scripture this morning, it talks about the disciples seeing Jesus after the resurrection and Jesus inviting them to touch and see where the nails went in his hands and his feet and to eat with him, share a meal with him so that they know he was real. And even after all of that, what he needed to do to help the disciples was open up the scriptures to them and tell them the story of God. So I was going to tell them that Jesus helps us to look at our scriptures and understand our scriptures by opening up the doors of our minds. And first of all, I was going to ask them if they could read this. Some of them were probably too young to read, but this just says, can you see the word? And normally when we read, we look at the black letters, don't we? But look at this word. Can we see the white letters? And what does the white letters spell here? Jesus, right. And I'll show you all as well. Show you Jesus. It. Everybody can have a piece of candy today. Everybody can have a piece of candy today. So that Jesus shows up, and Jesus is the one who teaches us and shows us how to understand our scripture. And sometimes we have to look at things. We need Jesus' help to look at things so that we can understand what we're reading. And then I was going to pray with them. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have come to us in your Son, Jesus, and we pray that he continues to walk with us in truth and in faith, that we might find our calling that you have placed upon our lives, that we may be witnesses throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, she wants me to toss some.
Just toss them to the choir.
Mardi Gras.
Come forward for our time at the altar for our offerings. Let us pray. This morning, O God, we come with grateful hearts that you have placed your call upon our lives, that we may be your witnesses throughout the world. We give of ourselves through these gifts, and we ask that you use us and use them for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Once again, the men of Calvary are going to show off their amazing talent. Y'all can stay until the last one.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
It was grace that taught my heart to fear.
Many
That's a wonderful lead-in to a time of prayer to remember God's amazing grace. And sometimes I that I like to try to block out all the distractions around us and have a time of quiet meditation. So quietly, set your minds and hearts upon the Lord. And let God's presence and power speak to you. And be surrounded by God's amazing grace. And we know that this amazing grace is for others as well as for us. And we know that there are people in our lives that don't yet know His amazing grace or need a special reminder of God's love working in their life. And so when you're ready, and if you feel called, lift up your voice in a prayer or in a praise for what the Almighty can do. All of these prayers we lay at your feet and lift them up to you, O God. the Lord of dawn and of darkness. How grateful we are today for your loving mercies at work in our lives. You saw our fear and doubt, our suspicion, our mistrust, and you banished them from our lives, replacing them with hope and peace, love and joy. And you have called us today to be your witnesses to all the world, unafraid of what others might think or say about us. You have invited us out of our darkened hideaway places into the light of your world as emissaries of hope and justice, peace and compassion. Be with us as we participate in ministries of healing and hope through this church, in our community and nation and world. Give us the courage and strength to be your disciples in all the circumstances of our lives. We ask this and so much more in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'll all stand and look to the screen behind me.
technology. Okay. Good morning again. Let's go to God's word and scripture this morning. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." God's word for the... I done forgot. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right. I got new batteries, but she didn't, so her batteries gave out. I'm going to put this down. Now, when I was in kindergarten, some of you might remember something like this. One of my favorite activities was, what's in the box? The teacher put something in a box and then cut a hole in the top of the box just big enough for your hand to go through. You couldn't see what was in there, but you could stick your hand in. You could reach in the box, and you could smell the box, and you could shake the box, everything but open it. And each one of us in class would take a turn with the box and share what we discovered with the class. We tried to guess the right answer with what was in there. It's kind of fuzzy. Is it a teddy bear? It feels like a ball, but it's pointy at one end. Maybe it's a football. We thought it was just a game, but our teacher was trying to show us how to explore the world, how to ask the right questions, put together clues, hold back wild guesses, and be patient, waiting for the right conclusion to emerge. And Jesus uses a very similar methodology as he leads the disciples in what we heard Robin just share for us into exploring this post-Easter world. And they are somewhat less eager pupils than my kindergarten class. For one thing, the scripture says they were terrified. For another, they are pretty sure that they already know what they are seeing. After all, there were only two possibilities that they thought of to explain what they are seeing. One is that Jesus hadn't died at all. But as much as they wanted to believe that, they knew that that couldn't be true. Because they had seen the cross, they had seen the body in the sealed tomb, they had all the evidence they needed, and there was only one other conclusion: that this was a ghost. And ghosts are not generally signs of good news. So they're scared. They're petrified. But Jesus very gently coaxes them to a third, though incomprehensible, alternative. He doesn't explain logically to them what happens in resurrection, but instead he encourages them to discover it for themselves. "Look at my hands and my feet," he says, "where I was nailed to the wood. That's right, I did die, but I am not a ghost. Touch me. Is that what a ghost feels like? Give me some fish to eat. Do apparitions chew and swallow? It is truly I. I know you don't understand it. I know you can't believe it. But go ahead. Take a guess now at what God has done among us. And Luke tells us that the disciples, in their joy, were still disbelieving and wondering. They wanted to give in to the hope that was jumping around in their bellies. They wanted to raise their hand to their teacher and say, "It is you. It is Jesus." But they were so very, very afraid of getting the answer wrong. So Jesus gives them some more clues. He begins to tell them the story of God's plan to restore all of creation, from the covenant with Abraham to the Exodus from Egypt, from Ezekiel's valley of dry bones to Isaiah's suffering servant. Now, he's told them all this before, but this time, in the presence of their risen Savior, the doors in the minds of the disciples are unlocked and thrown open to understanding what God has done. The rejection, the suffering, the crucifixion itself, they weren't a detour from God's plan, but they were the final steps of God's long journey down into the plight of broken humanity. And now they are witnesses to the first steps on the other side. Not a dead man, not a ghost, but the victory of God. And that is the role that Jesus gives to the disciples and to us in the story. We are to be witnesses of these things. Now, we're not called upon to be expert witnesses, but just witnesses, people who tell the truth about what they have experienced. Throughout the Easter season, we hear some of the earliest testimonies of the truth of the resurrection. "I touched him, and he was not a ghost. I saw the marks in his hands and on his feet. He was the crucified one. We broke bread with him and he ate." 2,000 years later, we can still give evidence of how the risen Jesus has come into our lives and retold the story of our lives in a way that opened our minds to the truth. Those first witnesses didn't just give their testimony in words. Many of the people who saw the resurrected Jesus that day eventually offered evidence that was written in their own blood. The word translated as witness is martyr, and we have a lot of testimony from Christian martyrs. Now, there are scholars who point out that the meaning of the word witness as martyr was a later development, and that Jesus did not intend that all his witnesses should become martyrs, which is possibly so. But the church that grew from the blood of those martyrs knew what it was talking about. They had touched and seen Jesus. To be a Christian witness is not simply to repeat what you have heard. It is to give your whole life as evidence of the truth. Belief in the resurrected Lord can't be argued or explained into someone, and Jesus didn't try to do that. He knew that the truth had to be seen, had to be touched, had to be experienced in his flesh, and in the living, and sometimes, if necessary, dying, witness of his disciples. So that's what we're called upon today to be, his witnesses. We are witnesses when we can invite someone to look into our homes, our families, our friendships, our work, our checkbook, our day planner, and find Jesus there. We are witnesses when we allow ourselves to be touched by folks who are lost and afraid. We are witnesses when we live in a way that defies any explanation other than the presence of the risen Christ within us. Because Christ is working his miracle of resurrection in us now, here, today. Look, touch, see, believe. It isn't a ghost. It's the living Christ. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 666, we'll sing Shalom to you.
By Christ, no matter that it's 2,000 years later,
amen.
And know in power and truth,
yes,
that Christ is alive.
Amen.
And we are witnesses of this truth.
Yes.
When Christ comes into our lives and in our hearts and moves us inside and out to be his people. Called in this time, in this place, we are here with our loved ones and friends, and beyond these walls, we reach out and let others know what we have seen and touched and felt and believed, because it is true. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. Go in his peace and be grateful.
Amen. Amen.
Good job, gentlemen.
Good job.
You did for the glory of God, right?
Amen.
Yeah. job. You have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, sir.
And we too.